Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 2 Peter with me this morning. I believe that'll go right along with our message, and I'm so glad. We are prone to wander, are we not? And we need the Lord. We need to stay close to Him. This morning, before I get started and get going, my wife has her sister here, and many of you may not have known this, but she has a twin. And you say, how can there be two wonderful people like that in the world, right? But before you go too far thinking that way, Richard also has a twin. Amen. 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 Well, I had to get that out at the beginning because we'd have been derailed if we went too far with that, right? But amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter number 2, the title of the message today for the tape room and for us today is Make the Answer Clear. Make the answer clear. You know, I think sometimes we live in this life, and as Christians, we get caught up with so many things in this world that derail us. They make us cloud who we really are in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't think we put up barriers, but sometimes we hide who we are in Christ. And the witness that we're supposed to be for the Lord Jesus Christ is somewhat blurred in the sight of those who desperately need to see and hear the truth of Jesus Christ. This is we are people of the way. We are people of the Lord Jesus Christ if we're saved and on our way to heaven. And what we miss so many times is that His message needs to be broadcast. We live in a day of Calvinism where we think that we can keep quiet and others will do our preaching for us. We live in a day of Calvinism where we think of maybe lifestyle evangelism, but the problem is they continue to water down their lifestyle. You can't water your lifestyle down and then still preach a Calvinistic lifestyle evangelism. You can't water down the Word of God and expect everybody to be on the same page. We live in a day and age where the message isn't clear as it once was in America. It's sad. And we wonder why we're in the state that we're in. Now, Israel had the truth all along, but throughout the ages in the Old Testament, they were constantly wandering away from God. Times when they were presented with the truth and the answer, they would turn to God. And other times they said, we will not walk in His ways. Let me tell you, every time they chose not to walk in God's ways, they reaped for the decision. They received the due reward of their deeds. The nation of Israel today, even though they have a home and God begins to reclaim and reinstitute and put them back, and we see all things and coming together for the Lord's return, make no mistake, there are still Jews all over the world. Because they were scattered to the winds, the four corners of the earth, because of things that they chose over their God. America, we founded upon the Word of God. I mean, founded our Constitution, the law that holds us and binds us together as really law. It's founded. I mean, you can clearly see its basic foundations are tied truly to the Word of God. Morality. The reason that we're having such trouble with a nation and trying to govern it with a constitution that's moral is we live in a world that is immoral. We put forth a pride month. Amen. Even the word pride. What they've chosen to take and represent themselves is to steal things that, again, pride in the Word of God. Again, there was one that decided to lift himself up above God. And that was in pride. Even stealing a rainbow. I'm just going to tell you, something that God made to witness between ourselves that He would not destroy the world. Listen, no rainbow flag will save this crowd from God's eternal judgment. Only turning to God in faith through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will save any sinner. No matter what flag they fly. But I tell you, it's very disappointing as an American that businesses, and even under Obama, that they would pull down the American flag. Do you know nothing? As an American, nothing should be raised. Listen, if you're going to take something and raise it above the American flag, maybe it would be the Baptist flag, the Christian flag. If you're going to raise something above it, it'll all be something that is godly, heavenly, something that is connected to the Almighty. Maybe God's word raised up above it. But you're going to raise a rainbow flag and pull the American flag down? It saddens me. You say, how did we get to this place, preacher? I'll tell you how we got to this place. Same way Lot found himself in Sodom. We looked and saw the well-watered plains and thought we'd just leave well enough alone. It isn't going to hurt anything if we just go down and drive our tent down there close to the city. Really, I'll be honest with you, if I was playing with you today, I'd tell you, when they came out of the closets, the Christians went in. And the sad fact is, some of them are still in there. Or they're peeping through the crack of the door and go, don't say anything mean. When did the truth become mean? When did we start calling? And again, I can't even keep up with all the letters they put in this thing. So I ain't calling them that. It's sodomites. That's a biblical terminology. That still describes them, and every letter they can come up with will put them underneath of that biblical terminology. If you want another term to use, is an abomination of before God. God hates sin, all sin. I'm not trying to separate this, but listen, when you start giving it a month, it needs to be preached on. So here at the start of their Pride Month, I thought I'd go ahead and take care of it. Amen. Let's pray before we get going this morning. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you for how any person who decides to turn to the finished work of Jesus Christ and accepts him as their Savior, Lord, they can be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, if there's somebody in the building this morning that needs to be saved, Lord, I pray that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, accept him as their Savior. Lord, not trust in their works, not trust in anything else but you. I pray for our people, God. I pray you'd help us to be bold witnesses of the truth. The world desperately needs it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 2 Peter chapter number 2, if you'd read it with me, we'll begin in verse number 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sin, you remember that? That was not just Lucifer, but there was about a third of heaven that went with him. But cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. You know, the Bible makes a staunch prediction that it wasn't going to end with Sodom and Gomorrah. There's nothing new under the sun. God has judged it in the past. He's judged it in the past, and he will judge it in the future. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he will continue to be that. And then verse 7, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I want you to skip down with me now, and I'll read some verses, and then we'll get to preaching. In verse 18, the Bible says this, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error." Do you realize who's being described? Folks that came out of some of this sin. They escaped the error that they were in. Now look on with me. "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they had escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog has returned to his vomit, his own vomit again, and the sow was washed to her wallowing." I don't know, you know, wallowing in the mire. I don't know about you, but if you don't pick this up, you say, "Well, preacher, are you talking about somebody that got saved and then they turned back to this sin? They're not saved anymore?" No, that is not what the Bible was saying. I just want you to know that everybody will be judged someday. Some are going to stand at a great white throne, and they're lost folks, and some of us that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we will not face our sin, but we will face the opportunities that we were given for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about all the time and the things that we can serve Him, the way we could witness and how we're going to be. We're not going to stand there and answer for the sin that He paid for by His blood. But think about taking all the opportunities that God gave you and going back and living a lifestyle in wickedness. And think about that witness. Think about who that witness is to. Just this week, wrote a ton of devotionals and looking forward to the next one about just the names of Christians. Do you know many of us, we miss that the whole book is full of sons of God and brethren and kings and priests and just so many names that God has used for those that have accepted Him and He saved us, and He describes who we are in Christ throughout the Scripture by different names. And we can know, as we're known one day, you know, I mean, we can know ourselves. Listen, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I realize, you know, when you get a title, How many of you ever received a title? You know, I mean, one of those titles is servant in the Scripture. What a blessing it is to be able to serve God. Think about all the titles that God gives us in the Scripture. Saints, even though we don't deserve it. Made holy because He is holy. Not because of our works of righteousness that we've done, but because of what He's done. So many times we miss the great blessing that God has given us. He's moved us into a place and given us a name. What a name. I mean, just think about when I'm joined to Jesus Christ, He has a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. No, I'm not going to carry His name. But well, Wednesday night we talked about being coupled with Jesus Christ and made one with Him. In that marriage relationship, and we ought to live that way, dead to the world and alive to Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is that I get all these names. You know all those names? You know, I don't know about you, but my wife and I, we have names that wasn't my given name. It's not on my birth certificate that we call each other. Right? Now, I'm not going to go through those today. You don't need to hear them. Right? But you probably have names like that for your significant other. But think about, God has a list of names, and not all of them are practical names that work with someone who, but it's loving names. Names that he's given his, that he's purchased with his own blood. Ones that he wants to follow him. See, what we miss, so why don't I know who I am in Jesus Christ? Well, maybe you haven't studied it out. Maybe you haven't read his book, this wonderful love letter that he wrote to us. You say, "Preacher, I thought you was going to rip on everybody else." I'm getting to that. Hey, folks, you know Lot. He goes down, and the story can be found in Genesis 19, and we won't discuss it, but I just want you to understand this morning that, you know, when you go down to Sodom, I don't believe Lot ever had any intention of going in and living in Sodom. He saw the well-watered plains, and he went down to prosper his cattle. Do you know sometimes all it takes is getting too close to something because you think the profit is worth the risk? You know, think about this. He didn't just drive stakes, but while he was down that close, where do you think he was selling his cattle? Who do you think he was servicing? And then if you're going to prosper your business, you know, if you're always at the stockyard, man, I could say I could make some more bucks if I had my own stockyard. He bought stock in the town. Then he bought a house there because it was convenient. Do you know how far America has fallen out of convenience? Go up here. There's convenience stores all over the place, right? What is a convenience store? A place to take your money. They sell you gas. And I used to think they sold it as cheap as they could, but I'm not sure about that now, right? To get you to come inside to get something else that you really don't need, but because it's convenient, they're going to sell it to you, right? And you know they put big pictures of a Twinkie out on the glass. You don't need that Twinkie, but you want it. They had the big gulp out there on the window, right? And, you know, that big gulp ain't really that big. But you think, what a deal. And you make your way inside there and get it. I mean, think about the same way. That's what was happening to Lot. The things, the convenient things. It's just convenient. Let me buy a house in the town. Think about this. You say, how in the world did Lot get to be a politician? Sitting at the gate. Judging at the gate. Well, if the Bible says that righteous Lot, just Lot, uses that term over and over again. Who would you want to judge you? A whole town full of sodomites or the one saved man in the town that would judge rightly? Who would you put at the gate? If you met him, you'd stick him at the gate. Listen, they took him and stuck him in the gate and put him there. And he probably thought, I have the best discernment in this town. He did. He should have left the town if he had that much discernment. He should have packed up and moved on. But no, he was profiting from living next to there. Let me tell you what Lot lost. Let me tell you what, listen, anybody that will park their tent and go along with this pride movement, these sodomites, and every other thing that they can call themselves down the pike. I don't like to use the term transgender because there's only two genders. You can't transfer back and forth. Makes me sick to even talk about it. God made a man and a woman. And you can mutilate yourself in the mind and your body to try to be something other than that, but that's what God made you to be. God makes no mistakes. He hasn't missed the mark one time. You just need to get on page with God's plan. I know that there's a bunch of people, and even one that was probably a so-called fundamentalist that wrote a book called Born This Way. And that's wicked. That is a man that has been messed up in the head. That for money would write a book, filthy lucre's sake, and preach a gospel. That's not the gospel. You say, "Preacher, you just get mean." There's no mean. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Where else are you going to go and hear this? Where else are you going to go and hear somebody tell it to you straight? I'm not on the governor's staff, but I am one of the citizens in his state, and I'll say praise God for everything he's done to battle. Some of the things he's outlawed, I didn't even know were going on. And I still wonder how in the world can people send their kids to a public school where there's some kind of danger of a drag queen reading them a book or coming in and doing some kind of a gathering in front of them. How in the world could you even know that was going on and still let your kids go to school there? The sad part is there was a great exodus into the homeschool movement because of COVID. Because you were scared of something you couldn't see. When the things that we're putting in front of our kids' eyes all the time is what will destroy them. The errors that they're teaching them about science and everything else is what is destroying them from the inside out. But we're scared of something we can't see instead of the thing you can see that's in your face on television, that's in your face on the radio. Everything you see, they're after your kids. They're after your mind. They're trying to pervert everything that is good. And still, we just go along with it. We won't stand up or say anything against it. When you pervert the truth, you end up with perverted people. And we wonder why our nation has come to the place. When you teach your children that they're animals, they will act like animals. And the problem is they didn't stop. Now that they've gone past that, even animals don't think this way. Even animals have better sense than this. I want you to see in the scripture, Lot sent, he bought stock. He's sitting at the gate. But then, you know, all of this, it doesn't really come to Lot what it cost him to be in Sodom until two angels show up. Now, he knows how the town is because they said they're going to stand in the street all night. And he says, oh, no, you can't do that. Not in Sodom. Not in Sodom. The Bible says that he begged them. I mean, almost begged them to a place where they were ashamed and went into the house. He made them something that probably Lot hadn't made in some time. He took unleavened bread, made a picture of, he knew what the truth was. But then they say, you need to get out of Sodom. Do you got any other kids or anybody else beside these that you can take with you? He goes to his daughters. Really, the Bible says he goes to his son-in-law because they're the ones that ruled his daughters now. Because that's who he let marry them. Hey, daddies, you got a great responsibility with that daughter you have. Amen. Don't hand her just off to anybody. Amen. Hey, he says he goes to his son-in-laws and finds out they think he's a jokester. They think he's the sky is falling guy that runs around and says, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. They mocked him. Hey, I don't know about you, but we live in a day and age now when you stand up and preach the truth like this, you know what most people do? They mock it. They mock at it and say, boy, that's just so old-fashioned. That's just mean-spirited. That's just hateful or hate speech. No, it's the truth. And I'm sorry nobody else will tell it to you. But it's what you need to hear. We've come to a place in our age where here he's there, and when he leaves, think about this. When they finally tell him it's the last time and they got to go, they still don't leave. Do you know most people have to be taken by the hand? You know how most people get saved? They don't just go searching for it themselves. You got to go latch them by the hand and walk them through the truth so that they, before they see it. Do you know what? The farther they got away from Sodom, the more they realized it was about to be burned to death. The farther the angels drug them along the way and they got them outside the city, he said, now don't look back. Because the fire was already falling. Lot's already lost two girls and two son-in-laws. And then his wife turns around and looks. Because Sodom had her heart. Sodom had half of her kids. She turns to a pillar of salt like that. You say, what did Lot do? He knew better than to turn around. Can you imagine? Listen, I just want to talk to every husband right now. And the heartbreak that you ought to feel when you realize you've led your family into a place when you turn around, you're free and you're gripping, and all you can feel is salt and rock in your hand. There's no lady's hand anymore. She's hard as a rock to the things of God, to the way of God. You say, why would that happen? All you got to do is just miss church. All you got to do is just say, fishing's more important than anything. I mean, we could go through the list of things that all it takes is just a little bit, and all of a sudden, the one that's the spirit of the home, the wife, all of a sudden, she's hard to the things of God. She don't want nothing to do with that place or with following you anymore in the things of God. Lot, all he had was two daughters left. And it didn't take long. Once they were finally saved and away from the destruction of the city, he found out that both of them had been perverted by that place as well. And listen, you can read the story in Genesis 19, but listen, mark it down. Spending time in Sodom is exactly what that'll do to your family. You can't marry up to that foolishness and expect to come out with everybody that you took in. We live in this nation. Just let me, the reality, every person, so many people that we minister to, their families have been affected by this foolishness because they dwelt too long in Sodom. You can go back and mark it down where the train came off the tracks. And now they're trying to salvage who they can get out. Do you know God can still save people out of Sodom? He can save people out of America today that has embraced this foolishness. You say, it was just 1 month. No, the commercials don't stop anymore. No, it's not just 1 month. Even now, it's full blown on every show you watch. And again, it's not because it's popular. It's because they're trying to brainwash America into accepting it. We've come to a place now, you say, preacher, what's the answer? I want you to see, what is it that affected him? Seeing and hearing, the Bible said. I want you to look at it with me just for a moment. I want you to see how from verse 6 through 9 here, he talked about the cities were burned to ash in verse 6, verse 7, and delivered just Lot in verse 8. For the righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. From day to day. You say, preacher, what's the answer? What it's always been. You know, the word separation has become this hardcore evil word, especially among Christians, because you think that it's just like the Old Testament, come out from among them and be ye separate. But the thing you miss is who you're separating to. You see, God is 100 miles from that mess. God's not going to Sodom with you. God's not going to bless you down there in Sodom. Satan will. See, sometimes you miss the fact that you think just because everything's going okay or you're getting finances and everything is profitable, you make the mistake of thinking God is blessing you. When God's hand of blessing pulled off a long time ago, and the one that is feeding you blessings is not God anymore. It's the god of this world, the devil. And long before he pulls his hand of blessing off, he will cloud. Instead of it being clear as it used to be, making it clear, your judgment's clouded to what you think is a blessing, and now what you think is a curse on your family and your life. And when you get that way, you ought to wake up to the fact. You ought to think about this. Think every family in here that's got kids in school, you ought to take inventory of where your kids are at and what your kids have already learned, what your kids are watching. Now the devil has the tool of the phone, and you don't have to put it on the big television in the living room for them to be watching it. They'll watch it, and you don't even know it. They'll find the wrong friend and they'll send it to them, even if they're naive enough not to know where to find it. Where'd they get that friend? Well, we were hanging out close to Sodom, and one of the kids came out to play. You say, preacher, why are you getting so... I'm just telling you, Lot lost a whole lot while he was down there, didn't he? The Bible, look, turn with me. I want you to see in Hebrews chapter 11. The difference here is what they were searching for. You know, while Lot was with Abraham, he followed Abraham. He stayed with Abraham, and Abraham had a wonderful blessing of this life. I mean, some things that, I mean, most people that couldn't even dream of, called of God, sent out, everything that his foot touched, God was going to give it to him. And Lot had a part of that inheritance as a just and righteous man. But when it came, you know, listen, I've said it over and over again, the best thing that Lot could have done when Abraham came to him and said, our herdsmen are fighting. He said, listen, if I was Lot, I'd have said, listen, everything I've got is yours anyway, Abraham. Those are your cattle. I'm staying right here with you, uncle. I'm going to stay right here with the blessings of God on my life. I'm not going to leave this place. You tell me where we're going, or you tell me where you want me to be, but I'm not going to break fellowship with you because you've got God's hand on your life. And I need it desperately upon my family and the blessings of God in my life. But when given the chance to separate and to really show who he was and to make a name for himself, he chose Sodom. And so many people do. People raised in a good church like this, knowing the truth and knowing everything about it, when the dollar bill signs and all the things come down the pike, the colleges, the prestigious colleges, so they can get somebody else's name and I can make something of myself. They choose something that mom, dad, the preacher, and everybody else should say, run away from. But we've come to an age where the preacher may be the only one that discourages them from doing it. Mom and daddy want the prestige on them too. But they don't realize what they're going to lose until they get them back after those 4 years. Maybe it's year two they get them back and they start telling you, you know, I don't believe what you believe anymore, mom and daddy. And the preacher's been preaching it every year since they were from kindergarten to 12th grade. But you got to prove it out in your own family first before you figure it out. God help us. Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to see this as he comes down and he's making these statements in verses 8 through 10. We see Abraham, by faith Abraham, when he was called out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And when he went out and knowing whither he went, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him in the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He pretty much says Abraham was called to go and wander and seek a city. You say, what city should I seek? It sure ain't Sodom. Every one of us ought to seek a city that God made, a place that God built. You say, well, there's going to be a city. Yeah, there's a city coming one day. And the foundations are already laid. It's a place where you can go and visit over in Jerusalem that God put his very name. But there's another place that he put his very name and gave his very blood for, and that's the local church. And while we're still waiting to go to that city, we ought to get into this little town, this little gathering, this haven from this world called the local church. We ought to believe its truths and tie and knit our lives together because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. And we'll find and we'll be in that city that he's prepared. And then that city will meet us down here on earth one day. I just want you to know, as a preacher, you know that the answer is clear when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I mean, number one, it's always been the answer. You know, in different ages and in different places, it's been clearer than in our day. But let me just say, there's a lot of things, and I understand what we battle. Some of you preachers, if you're not careful, and I know we got a few in here today, listen, just let me tell you, don't get adaptive to the culture, because the beginning of culture means cult. And God has a way, and anything that perverts that way is culture. And I know a bunch of missionaries that think they need to adapt to the culture, but what they need to take to those folks is Jesus. Amen. When we go and reproduce the Landmark Baptist Church or the doctrines of the disciples that were given to them by Jesus Christ, and we go reproduce what Jesus built, it ought to look like this place. Amen. You say, well, you expect everybody to sit in shirt and tie? No. Because if it wasn't our way, I wouldn't wear this monkey suit. I don't want to hang myself every Sunday. But this is what makes it clear. Amen. You know, when I go into some place, you know, every time I put this tie on and I wear this suit, when I go into Publix, people ask me where things are. Amen. Why? Because they see someone of authority. They see somebody who knows at least where they ought to know where something is. And I may not even know where the chicken stock is, but I know where Jesus is and how they can get him. And I can reach in and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and sometimes I can take them to look for what they're looking for. Hey, folks, I'm telling you, we missed it. We need to make it clear that Jesus is still the way. You know, the only redeeming the only redeeming thing about Lot or any of the rest of us is Jesus Christ. The one that made him just and made him righteous was Jesus Christ. And that's always the first step of the answer. Number two, I want you to note separation to God, unto God, is the answer for every Christian, every person on planet Earth. See, we think that we're leaving, or it's some kind of bad word like the world uses, of segregation. That's not what separation means. Separation is me clinging to God. And again, anybody that wants to go to God with me can be with me. I'm not separate from everything and everybody. I'm just separate from anybody that stands against my God. Anybody that stands against his word, I separate unto God, and it separates me from them. I leave Sodom and Gomorrah and the old errors of their ways, and I cling to a holy God who teaches me the truth and makes things clear. Separation is the key, and it's always been the key. The problem is, you know what we do? We just like Lot, we don't just go right into the city. We drop one standard after the next. The things that we know that God approves of and the things that God loves, we just drop them one after the other. And we expect to be just like we always were, or be as conservative or as fundamental as we always were. But when you keep dropping things, you can't be fundamental. Things that are different are not the same. And it doesn't just work with the Bible. This book is not the same as every other watered down version. And every Christian that waters their life down and lives just like the devil in their crowd isn't the same. Music isn't the same when you water it down and you change it. Living, standards, preaching, everything needs to be separate from the world and not like it. I don't ever want to be guilty of sounding like Joel Osteen. I want to be different. Say, preacher, why do you have to use his name? I don't know. Thirdly, sanctification. Once I separate into God, now I can focus on being more like him and letting him. You know, sanctification is the work of God in me. Now that I've separated unto him, God can work in and through my life to make me a good picture. See, there's a bunch of people that like to throw around the title Christian. I'm a Christian. If you really are one, you don't have to tell people. If you really own the title and live up to your name, people will say, you're a Christian, aren't you? Instead of you having to say, I'm a Christian. That's what sanctification will do for you. How about this? You know, the word itself, even sanctification means being set apart. Service. The answer has always been service. Some people stop and become Pharisees at step three of their life. They put all of their energy in becoming more like Jesus Christ and forget that he came for a purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. And my purpose of sanctification is to be a better witness for Jesus Christ, to be a better example. of him. How about this? Most of us, the step three is to never forget that one day, as a Christian, if you started with step one and you received him as your Savior, one day you're going to see him face to face. You know, sometimes I don't know how it is that people, again, you water down the gospel, you water down your standards, you water down your music, and you go through this process of being, I mean, just watered down and not separated anymore. And how it is that they still preach, I cannot wait to see him face to face. You know, I want to finish like I started. I don't want to water anything down. I want to preach it as straight as the Word of God teaches it. Because one day I'll stand before him and I'll give an answer. And although I know that the Lord Jesus is my loving Savior, one day I hope to hear from him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You know, Lot, when he went down to Sodom, he wasn't thinking about hearing "well done." He was thinking about money. He was thinking about a crowd. There's a crowd of people that can buy my beef down there. You know, a lot of times in this life, if we're not careful, we'll let the things of this world water us down so that we're clouded and not as clear as we once were when we were close to the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians here today, listen, the invitation to you today is to separate from the things of this world. Get sanctified. Stay and walk with God so that you can be a clear witness of Jesus Christ without contradiction. Hey, for those of you that are here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you know he's still saving sinners today. The same Jesus that came and died on Calvary, his blood still has the power to save you today if you'd accept him. Now, you may be here and you say, "Well, I'm saved, preacher. I've been baptized." Baptism never saved anybody. "Well, preacher, I've been in a good church. I was in a church and I was a Sunday school teacher." Going to church don't save anybody. Being a Sunday school teacher don't save anybody. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. Nothing added to that and nothing taken away. Simply trusting his finished work on Calvary, his death, burial, and his resurrection to pay for your sin debt. Trusting in that today. If you've never trusted him, you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I encourage you to do that today. While we bow our heads and close our eyes, listen, we're going to begin an invitation now, and maybe you've never been in an old-fashioned invitation like this. We're going to have an invitation where we're going to invite you, if you're here and you're not saved, to step out and walk an aisle and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here and you're a Christian and you've been through one of these, but it's been a very long time since you walked the aisle and did business with God, I invite you to come down and speak to God. Maybe there's some area, maybe you made the step of being saved, but you've never really stepped out and become separated from the world. I encourage you to make that commitment to God today and begin that journey. Maybe the separation is something where you stopped and you've not allowed God to sanctify your life. Whatever it is that God wants you to do today, as we stand to our feet and Brother Burt begins to sing, why don't you meet me in the front or meet me at the altar as God has commanded you.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God.
head with me this morning. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you step out and come while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Nobody's looking but me and God. I'd love to meet you here in the front and take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home because of what Jesus did for you on Calvary. When Brother Burt begins to sing, as heads are bowed and people are praying, you step out and come.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Have come. Maybe you still need to come. Maybe you're here and you need to join the church. Maybe you've been baptized, you've been saved, but you've never joined this good local church you've been attending for a while. If you're saved and you're baptized, come and talk to us about it. Come and join this morning. If you need to be baptized, I've been saved, preacher, but I've never taken that first step of obedience for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then make that choice today. That's a choice of being separated from the world and joining the local church. If that's what you need to do today, as Brother Burt sings, you come.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
I'm so glad you attended today, you came with us, and again, I hope today, listen, what we need to desperately do, not to re-preach the message, but to make sure we leave here with that mindset. You know, I don't ever want to be mean. What the world needs is the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we need to realize is we have the truth, and we need to take it to Him. We need to desperately take it to this world. This morning, let me encourage you again, the opportunity to go over to the gym and to find treasures of your own. Maybe treasures you dropped off that you really didn't want to get rid of. Men, some of you may need to get some things your wife dropped off for you. Amen. Brother Congdon, would you come and pray for us?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning, and Father, thank you for allowing us to be in this place this morning to hear the powerful preaching that we've heard. I personally thank you, Lord, for the truth of the message this morning, the help that I personally received this morning. I trust it was a blessing to others this morning. We thank you for visitors that have come our way and you brought in the doors of this church this morning. And Father, help them to feel welcome. But most of all, Lord, we just thank you for the victory in knowing a Savior who loved us and died for us and rose again. Pray for somebody here that does not have that knowledge of that Savior today, that they'll receive that knowledge before they travel home today. Be with us now as we're dismissed. Be with our afternoon. Look forward to being in your house again tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.